Every time I listen to someone play an instrument really well, I wish, man, I wish I would have practiced. You know, man, I wish I would have. Appreciate that choir this morning. Man, praise the Lord. After, I'm not sure if you noticed, did you see the guys like high-fiving and hugging and shaking hands? That made me smile. And can it be? Mercy. So immense, it says. How much mercy do you need? An immense amount of mercy. Immense amount. John chapter 21 this morning. It is good to be saved. That is a true statement. If he had, not to get mortal or down this morning, if you had 24 hours left in your life, I don't like to think about that. I understand, but just play along for a moment. I expect to see you all tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying if you had 24 hours, what would you do? What would you talk about? What information would you pass on to those that are around you? In John chapter 21, look at verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Don't you love that verse? If we wrote down all the things that God did, this world could not even contain the volumes of books. The night before Christ's death, Christ gathers his disciples together and he talks to them for a short period of time. And again, I was thinking, as I was reading through John 13, 14, 15, if I knew, because Christ knew, they didn't understand it. He kept telling them, they're like, I don't understand what you're talking about. But if I knew I had 24 hours, 24 hours from today, that's it, I'm done. What would I pass on? Would I explain how to, you would probably explain the most important things. He gathers the disciples together, and you know what he doesn't scold them? Man, how many times the lack of faith? Oh, faithless generation. Come on, are you kidding me? No, he doesn't do that. John chapter 13 starts with this. He starts with getting together, and he washes their feet. Isn't that something? One day left, and here's what he's going to do. I am going to teach you about being a servant. John chapter 15, he references it again. He goes through some of the, in John chapter 14, what do we see? He promises the Holy Spirit as a guide and comfort. Oh, that's going to be helpful to them. John chapter 14, verse 27, he talks about peace. John chapter 15, he talks about the intimacy of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we just kind of take a step back and look at that and go, well, we have one day left, and this is what Christ talks about with his disciples. Being a servant, the promises of God, peace, a real relationship with the Lord. In my mind, I think, hey, that's important. Hey, in my mind, I think that would probably be something that I personally should take note of. So, John chapter 13. Go there with me, John chapter 13. I've done a little travel, not as much as some of other people. I've gone to some other places, and every time I come back, whether it be in Africa or Mexico or Guatemala or wherever the trips take us, Trinidad, at the end of the day, I'm kind of happy to be back in my own bed, the own smells, water. I like water. Warm water. I really like warm water. That's just nice. And sometimes, and maybe you're different than me, sometimes we get a little too focused in on this temporal life of this world in which we live, and we fail to consider eternity. There's more to our citizenship than the United States of America, to which I'm telling you, I love being an American. I love going to McDonald's and buying food that isn't good. I love being able to walk up and down the street and not have to worry. But my citizenship is even more than that. We have an heavenly kingdom that we're part of. And John chapter 13, 14, 15, it's almost like Christ kind of, I know he didn't do it, but he kind of grabbed them by the ears to get their attention. It was close. I almost did. Had you been sitting right next to each other, I would have been able to reach. And said, let me tell you some of the most important things when I'm out of here. There's a kingdom that's more than what you just see. Man, that's so hard. I've talked to so many people and we're in my office or something and sharing personal things about their life, tears in their eyes, my eyes, and just said, oh, I wish I could just see Jesus and talk to him. And that there is that longing to that. In John chapter 13, we get so consumed with what we see, we forget sometimes that we're a citizen of another country, another land, another kingdom, if you will. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, he says, I have a new commandment for you. A new commandment I give unto you. Oh, we could list the Ten Commandments, right? We could, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal. He says, I have another one, add it to the list. I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, he says, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Heavenly Father, we need you right now. I need you. God, I call upon you for help. Lord, I pray you'd use your word in a powerful way here today. Lord, speak to us, help us, remind us of what we're part of. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be your child. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the mercy that we sang about this morning. Thank you for your love. Lord, help us to remember these things, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're part of another kingdom. And he says, there's some different rules with this other kingdom. A new commandment. It's a commandment of unconditional love. Man, that's hard, isn't it? Everything I know has a condition. Right? I mean, if I do this, I produce this. And Christ says, I want you to produce this regardless of this. Yeah, but what happens if someone's me? I'll explain that. What happens if someone doesn't like you? Well, you're still supposed to unconditionally love. Say, that's not fair. Say, I get hurt. It doesn't say any qualifiers. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Ever unfaithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody like that? Maybe once or twice? Did his love stop for you? No, it did not. Ever let the Lord Jesus Christ down? Ever not speak on his behalf? Ever speak ill on his behalf? How do you think that made him feel? And yet, the Bible says he still loves us. An unconditional love. And he says, By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Look at chapter 13 and verse 1. It says this. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. So he knows this. Unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. No qualifier there. That means the ones that were nailing the spikes into his hands. That's unconditional love. Matthew chapter 5. Hold your hand in. Okay, you don't really have to hold your hand. We'll come back maybe to that, in that area. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Hey, we're part of another kingdom. Here's a ground rule. Unconditional love. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies." Man, why'd you go there with that? "Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." That's going to be helpful for the disciples. That's going to be helpful for Paul one day. Paul's going to turn back somehow in the scriptures, or Lord's going to remind him of this verse. Hey, those guys that just stoned you. Yeah, I know. I'm going back. Ever have a bad experience somewhere? Sure. Oh, yeah. You, by choice, will not go back there. Why would I go there? Last time I got hurt there. Or last time they spilled hot coffee on me there. Or last time I lost my wallet. Or, you know, there's a place we don't go, Joe, because maybe we lose our wallets. All right? If we pulled up, Joe, would you remember that place? Yeah. Why? Because a bad experience happened. Paul, in his circuit, went back to the cities that did him wrong. Why was that? Because the Bible says this, that ye love your enemies, and that they still need the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what Paul was an example of? Unconditional love. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is going to make friends. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Sometimes we take the Word of God and we set parameters by it, right? Or maybe we even, listen now, justify our actions and say, all right, God, I'm an exception. I know what your word says, but here's what happened to me, so therefore I can. According to the scriptures, if we denied the Lord Jesus Christ and one day stand before him and we're saying, well, you got to let me in, let me explain my circumstance, what would you say? That's not going to work. And then we come to the Word of God and say, I know what your principles say, but here's my story. And he would say something maybe similar to, oh, that's interesting. But I still expected you to do this. What happens if you've been done wrong? Unconditional love, it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is having a problem with this among the church. The example he gives us is verse 6. "But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another." He says, where's the love, pretty much? "Why do you not rather take wrong?" Oh, man. I'm not going to turn out on top on that. Therefore, I'm going to... That's not unconditional love. "Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?" Well, you know, my circumstance. "Nay, ye do wrong," he says, "and defraud, and that your brethren." Oh, man. Brethren amongst each other. Here, the circumstances that they have a legal disagreement and they go to the lost to set the thing straight. He says, well, what am I supposed to do? I was injured. He's like, well, you take the loss. I told you we wouldn't be making friends there. All right, John chapter 15. Look at this. We'll take it to a positive turn. All right. Hey, we're part of another kingdom. I just want you to understand that. And the rules by which we live in this kingdom are a little bit different than the worldly rules. John chapter 15, verse 15 says this, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Isn't it good to know that we're amongst friends here? And we look at verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Christ has one day left on the earth. One day. He knows it. He's aware of it. He has a last bit of time to explain some things to the disciples. Chapter 13, he starts off with foot washing and the importance of being a servant, to which he transitions into unconditional love. I would say the most familiar verse in your Bible is probably John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And you know, we hear that and go, that's just a kid's verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, I've heard that one. Next verse, come on. Tell me something I haven't heard before. Hey, I think every now and then it's good for us to be reminded of John 3:16. Why? Because we too are to express unconditional love for others. For God so loved. There we see God's love. God's love. 1 John chapter 4. Go there. We're just going to break down John 3:16 for a second. Just for a minute. So when your kids are left, do your kids ask you what you learned? I asked my kids about what they learned in Sunday school. Did they ask you about what you learned in church? Hey, what was church about? And you could say, well, we learned about John 3:16 today. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, it says this, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If I were to ask you, what is verse 7 about? If you didn't say the word love, you'd be in trouble. The first word is beloved. I understand it's an endearment term of people, but there's a kind, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He says, if you have a relationship with me, there's going to be something that comes out in you towards others. Just by knowing me, experiencing my love, there's going to be a natural love for others. John 3:16, for God so loved. Well, God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. And I'm thankful for the love of God in my life. Aren't you thankful for God's love? Unconditional. For God so loved, there, God's love. Number two, who did he love? The object of God's love is the world. God loves you. For God so loved the world. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves you. In a world that is opposite of what God has, I've talked to many of people that come into the church house or after talking about their life have never experienced love. Started off tough. Parents, who knows, bad situation. Never saw love. Never had anyone to say they love too. And then they met the Lord Jesus Christ. And that all changed. Oh, God's love is real. The object of God's love is you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the sacrifice of God's love. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ, what? Died for us. Man. God's love produced a sacrifice. How many of you as a parent understand that, right? You don't get to do everything you want to do as a parent anymore. First Corinthians chapter number 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says this. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. For God so loved. There's the source. Object of the love is the world, demonstrated through the sacrifice of His Son. Nailed on a cross for you and I. The sacrifice of God's love. Followed up with the gift of God's love. What's the gift? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've received some good gifts, very kind and generous gifts, but none as good as eternal life. The gift of God's love, eternal life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, if you're watching online or if you're in this building right now and you don't understand that love or you've never made that love personal to you, today is the day. If you need to right now, just raise your hand. We'll have someone take you and show you. I wouldn't waste a minute. Just stand right up. I need someone to tell me about this. I need to get saved. If you're watching online, send a note on our Facebook page. Send me a message, private message, however you want. I'll come to your house. I'll show you what the Scripture says. This is not something you mess with. It's the greatest thing ever. You exchange your sin for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You will no longer have to pay for the penalty of your sin. Do you understand if you don't get in on that? You'll forever perish. See, that's mean. Why would you say that? Because that's what God says. It's not mean. It's just truth. Hey, we're part of another kingdom. And that other kingdom has some guidelines, one of which is unconditional love. And I can never say, well, I've never seen it demonstrated. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have seen it perfectly demonstrated. Almost personified. God is love. It's easy to love a friend, Jacob. Maybe your brother. Share a room, interests. I mean, you probably don't tell him every night before he goes to bed, hey, Benjamin, I love you. Maybe you do. I don't know. Do you? No. Okay. All right. That's fine. I didn't know if you do. Sam's smirking back there. I could ask you too. I don't know. All right. Okay. But I'm sure there's some affection between. It's easy to love a brother, a friend, family member. How about an enemy? How about when someone does you wrong? He says, by this shall all men know. He goes, I have a new commandment for you. I have one day left on this earth, and I want you to understand this thought. Unconditional love. Number two. Say, number two, we're going to be here till Tuesday. All right, that's fine. We're good. Perfectly fine. The announcements took a little while. Time is going great. We got Mexican stuff cooking back there, I think. Is it still cooking in there? All right, I hope so. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Christ knew His hour had come, and He's trying to express some things at the last moments of His time with the disciples. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. The love of God produces something, and that's a trust. Because I know God loves me, you know what I can do? I can trust Him. And because of that trust, you know what that requires on my part? Obedience. John chapter 14 and verse 15 says this. If you love me, keep my commandments. What does that mean? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's exactly what it means. Say, well, what's the Greek say? We've been looking at the Strong's. I'm going to need to see some cross references on this. I think it's pretty clear. Our love for God is demonstrated or transferred into a trust of God. Therefore, we obey God. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I just want to get real with it for a second. Hey, if you're struggling with hearing the voice of God personally in your life, can I go back to this scripture? I'm not trying to beat you up, but maybe there's a fact or an element of disobedience. Maybe I read my Bible and I just don't get anything. It feels like it's been a long time since I had any personal time with God Himself. I'm not even sure He knows my name anymore. Is it not on Him, but could it be because you're just disobeying and not doing what He told you to do? Because it says, he that loveth me shall be loved of the Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He even, in verse 23, says, I will make my abode with him. A couple years ago, I don't remember, maybe a year and a half or so ago, we built a little room for the boys upstairs, gave them their own room. Imagine if I just brought my stuff up. Hey, I'm moving in. It would be real obvious. I got stuff. I got things. Hey, is it real obvious that the Lord Jesus Christ has made His abode with you? Obedient trust. Unconditional love produces obedient trust. Christ says, I have one day. I want you to understand this. I want you to love unconditionally. And number two, I'm leaving. And I want you to do exactly what I told you to do. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter number 2, in verse 4. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments. The Bible says some strong words. Is a liar and the truth is not in him. That's just what... There's a connection between our fellowship with the Lord and our obedience to God. Do you understand that? First century Christians were willing to be martyrs for the cause of Christ. And we have a hard time coming out when there's a third of an inch of snow. Leonard Ravenhill said this, the early church was married to poverty and persecutions. Today the church is married to prosperity and popularity. Revelation 2:13. Let's look here. How far would your obedience, where's the line of obedience? There ought not to be a line of obedience. Revelation 2:13, look at this. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. Would it? Who was slain among you? Oh, well, that's where I draw the line. Really? I don't think we'll ever, I don't know. We have not been tested with that. But is there a line of obedience? If there's a line of obedience, that means there's a line of trust. God, I can only trust you so far. And Christ is trying to teach his disciples something. Hey, listen, you're part of a different kingdom. I want you to understand this. This world is not your home. Amen. This is just temporary. Be careful that you not get so caught up with this life. Remember what Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul had that thought. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. The faster you turn, the quicker we'll be done. And all of a sudden, there's great speed amongst the pages. I love the Word of God. I love the Bible. Hope you have like notes in your Bible. We're taking some notes this morning. Or I don't write in my Bible. I hope you have a notebook where you can write some things down as the Lord speaks to your heart. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, hey, you're part of something. I need you to obey me. I need you to love me. I need you to demonstrate love for one another. But you're going to be part of something that is unbreakable. It's called the church. It's the body of Christ. You say, wow, that must have been so awesome. Do you understand? That's the exact same thing today. Acts chapter 5. Go to Acts 5. Acts 5. And then we're going to jump over to 1 Peter. Acts chapter 5. So why do you tell us 1 Peter? Well, it's a small book. Maybe you want to start looking. Acts chapter 5, verse 29 says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. There was something unique about the disciples. What was it? They cared most about what the Lord Jesus Christ thought. Like Ravenhill said, they'd be willing to go to poverty and persecution. Now we're so consumed with prosperity and popularity. This morning, I hate to even share this with you, but I want to share it with you and then follow up with a question. We had our furnace worked on here yesterday. Mr. King came out and he was helping us. And I woke up this morning and I looked and the furnace was, it was 50 degrees in here this morning. Can I tell you, it just broke my heart. I don't know. I came out here, I was in tears. Say why? I don't know. I don't even know why. There's a breaker box right out here, and I'm praying with my hand on the breaker box this morning. God, please just make there to be heat. Just warm it up in here. Our people, and I'm praying, Lord, help our people to be comfortable and want to come. I don't want to have to cancel church. And then I thought, as I came back in and the heat turned on, literally I was kneeling right here as warm air was coming on me, just thanking the Lord. I know to you it's not a big thing, but it's a really big thing to me. But then I was thinking, what would be the breaking point? Like, what is too uncomfortable to have service? 50? 40? You're just getting comfortable, Brother Sutliff. God said it's right for us to get together and meet regularly. What would it take for us to disobey that? Illness? Sure, I understand. Don't want to get other people sick. Don't want to contaminate. I get it. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. That was my question. Like, say it's summer and the air conditioning cuts out and it's 90 in here. God can't move in 90. I've seen it. Humidity, I don't know. The Bible says this, 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning them yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance. Hey, before we met Christ, we were all about us. Let me say that again. Before we met Christ, we were all about us. Shouldn't we be all about His kingdom now? We're part of another kingdom. Number one, a kingdom of unconditional love. Number two, of obedient trust. Obedient trust. Because of the love, we trust Him and then we obey Him. And thirdly and lastly, John chapter 15. You're the greatest people. I mean it. As I was watching you walk in, I was thinking, if I had a text out this morning, hey, I can't get the furnace on, it's not working, it's 52 degrees in the sanctuary, and I was going to say, bring a coat. Like, I don't know. I don't know if more people would come out or less or what. John chapter 15, verse 18, it says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Thirdly, again, remember Christ has about one day. And he goes through some things that are most important. And he reminds them of their separation from this world. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 24, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. Matthew 6, 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. For the last 2,000 years, Christians have been trying to prove Christ wrong in that. As Christians, we should live under a complete different set of principles and values than the rest of mankind. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Because we're citizens of another kingdom. We have a new master. Again, Philippians 1:21 says, go there, Philippians 1:21. We've already quoted it, but we'll read it again. Philippians 1:21 says, for to me, to live is Christ. I'm going to ask you today to evaluate in your life, if you are part of that other kingdom, does your life glorify God? Does your life draw attention to Christ? For to me, to live is Christ. What difference is there from you in the world? What difference? If it's only that your driveway is empty on Sunday from 10 to 12:30, what different affections would the world accuse you of having? Do you love the exact same things the world does? What are your priorities? Where is your heart? Where is your affection? Where are your efforts? Where are your resources? What's different about you? Church, it is easy to assimilate to the world. It's easy. The devil makes it really easy. Harmless things become our priority. Temporal things become our priority. I ask you this morning, Christ has one day left. And he says, here's some things that are most important. Unconditional love. Obedient trust. And then separation from the world. What's different about you? Shirt and tie. Skirts, dresses. Hey, that's great. I'm glad. The answer should be everything. Our conversation, our appearance, our goals, our purpose as a believer of Christ, our love, everything should be different, not just a couple things. the first century Christians were dragged out of their house and made sport. Would they even be able to find us amongst our community? I know that guy. He's a Christian. How do you know? By everything he does. Oh, yeah, her. If they opened up our home and came in, would the conversation, would the... What's different about you? We ought not to assimilate to the world. There ought to be separation. Let's all stand. We're part of another kingdom, number one, that has a new commandment, that of unconditional love. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I invite you to just come forward. Just come forward, stand right here. We'll let someone show you from the scriptures what it means to be saved. We're not messing around. That would be the right thing to do. Say, I'm nervous. Forget the nervousness. Forget it. If you're online, again, I mean it. Send a message to me. I will come to your house. I don't care where it is. If you're watching in Minnesota, I'll drive. It's worth it. I don't think we have people. Are there people in Minnesota? Do people live in Minnesota? Okay, good. If you're watching anywhere online and say, I don't know, the private message, that is the most important thing. If you're here today, stop messing around. Just come forward. Let someone show you from the scriptures. Put your faith in. Say, I know what I got to do. Then get to the altar. Why wait? Don't wait for that. Well, who cares what anybody thinks? If you have personally not been demonstrating the unconditional love of Christ towards enemies, towards those that have done you wrong, hey, you're part of another kingdom. Have you been obedient to what God has said? So how would I know? Has He made His abode with you? Has He manifested Himself with you? And let me ask you thirdly, has there been separation from the world? If I'm part of another kingdom, I should look like it. I should talk like it. There should be very little resemblance between me and the world. I ask you today, if you were in a lineup, would you be able to be picked out by what you do, what you say, your demonstration of the things of God? In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I invite you to come. Use this altar. This is not just, oh, this just helps us to get up here. Pastor's got short legs, so he needs steps or something like that. That's not, the purpose of this is that you come, and like in the Old Testament, where the altar, the things were sacrificed, your will, your decisions. I invite you to come. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless the time of invitation now. Lord, I thank you for your kindness and love and faithfulness to us. And Lord, I pray you'd bless the things that were said. Lord, forgive me if I said something I shouldn't have. God, I pray that you'd continue to work here now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?